Today, we're going to continue on with this exploration of Jesus' parables. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I thought throughout the summer it would be nice to just hear directly from Jesus and what he said about life, living by faith in him. And he described life with him, life by faith in parables a lot in his ministry. So we're going to take a look at those parables. And today we're going to look at a parable called the Parable of the Mustard Seed. This is found both in Matthew 13 and Mark 4. We're going to read from Mark today. So go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you would, to Mark 4. We're going to read verses 30 to 32. I'll give you just a moment to find that before I read it. So Mark 4, verse 30. Here's what Jesus said. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such a big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." And that's it. That's the parable right there. Now, when you start to consider what Jesus is describing here for us, some of you may recall a different Bible passage, I did initially, where Jesus mentions a mustard seed. In Matthew 17, he's speaking to his disciples about who are having some trouble driving out a demon, and he speaks to them about faith. He says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this parable is communicating something different. I just want to make sure we're not combining those two mustard seed images. He's actually, in one sense, he was talking about faith. In this parable, he's talking about something different. He is comparing a mustard seed to the kingdom of God. And if you remember last week, I just took a moment and talked about, what is this kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about? The kingdom of God is that place, that life that you can live in relationship with Lord. It's living in fellowship with him, living under his authority, living under his will. It's when we submit ourselves to God, we enter into the kingdom of God. It's not just living in heaven beyond this life, but as Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can begin to live in that kingdom of God as we enter into relationship with the Lord and deepen our faith in him. And so Jesus is describing for us what it's like to live in that kingdom of God, what it really means to walk and live by faith. And so Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed in this parable. And in saying that, when you initially think about that, he's starting out saying that there's much more to the kingdom of God than what meets the eye. When you look at a seed, these are not mustard seeds. These are actually apple seeds, but I thought I'd just give a closer up image. Plant seeds don't look like much. These little hard little things that don't amount to much. When we don't eat them, we throw them out a lot of times. But we're not going to go further with the analogy yet. There's not much to look at them if you just give them an initial glance. And the kingdom of God is like that. If you're not going to take much time to consider the kingdom of God, if you're not really going to seek to understand it, there's not much to look at. On the surface, it doesn't appear to have much to offer. When people look at the church externally, they may see it as just some organization that has a bunch of rules and rituals to live by and doesn't have much to offer them. It may seem unappealing to them. It can be easy for people to view all the things that we do as a church, these acts of worship we do or a relationship with the Lord that we talk about, as insignificant religious rituals. In their hearts and minds, they've already decided, because they're only just taking a surface level look, that there isn't anything there worth pursuing. And you can look at a seed and think the same way. Oh, there's not much to it if you just look at a surface level. In Isaiah's prophecies about the Messiah, Jesus was even described as not appearing to have anything worth noticing. Isaiah 53 verses 2 and 3 say, "He grew up before them like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. So from those prophecies, we understand that Jesus wasn't like this person who attracted everyone to him by his appearance. On the surface level, he probably just looked like everyone else. He was born in, or he was raised in a humble family, born of humble means, lived in Nazareth, the outcast of Israel. He wasn't much to look at if you just take a surface look. You can extend this parable to the church as well. Just take a look around at this church, True North Church. If you just take a quick look around, just a surface level look, it may not look like much. It's a small group of people, people coming from various backgrounds, people who have all had struggles in their lives, who are walking by faith in the Lord, but not much to look at. Maybe there's not much here if you just take a surface level look. But the view begins to change when you start to take an interest and you take a closer look. And I couldn't resist today, the inner biologist in me, to extend this parable just a little bit and say, well, let's take a look inside a seed. Have you ever thought about what's inside a seed when you remove the seed coat? You begin to see there's something more to it. Inside a seed, you have these two primary things in there. The first is called the endosperm, which is basically food for the new plant that's going to grow out of the seed. That's a big part of it. And then you have this little baby, they call it an embryo, the embryo of a plant. And it has these three small parts, which this I picked this picture because it really amplifies those parts that are found in the embryo. You have the bottom, which is the embryonic root, and you have an embryonic stem, and you have an embryonic leaf. It's more than just a little hard shell. There's something more to it. And of course, today we know that you can take an even closer look. This is an electron microscope picture of a plant cell. And you can't see all the details here, but what we know now by looking at things microscopically, submicroscopically, that every cell of a plant, and even that embryo, is made up of billions of cells. Every one of those cells is a complex machine all by itself. It contains organelles for turning sunlight into food, which always fascinates me. We don't always think about, did you know that plants just take sunlight and they turn it into food? And because they do that, we live. Because everything else on Earth gains its energy from plants initially. And that in itself just blows my mind, right? There's much more to these plant seeds than we can begin to understand. Structures are in these cells for transporting that food all around a cell or transporting them to neighboring cells. There's cell walls that give the plant structure. There's different components for duplicating cells, making copies so it can grow and change. And of course, inside every cell is a nucleus, and that nucleus has the DNA. That DNA is the entire blueprint for how to make that organism. Every cell contains that DNA. It has the instructions for making every kind of protein that plant will ever need for its entire life. Each cell has a complete copy of that DNA, along with all the components it needs to control which genes will be expressed and which won't be expressed at different times and at different places in that cell. We can go on and on with how amazingly complex these organisms are. So when you take a closer look inside, you see there's much, much more than meets the eye. The closer you look, the more complex the seed is. Every seed contains everything it needs to grow and form a mature plant. That little tiny seed that you can hold in your hand has everything it needs to form a mature plant. The kingdom of God is like that. The closer you look into it, the more you discover there is to it. 1 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us to by His own glory and goodness. God has given us as human beings everything that we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of Him and the hope that we live in Him. He provides everything we need for a godly life, for life in His kingdom. There is so much that God offers for your life, and you discover it as you take a closer look as you begin to seek him. You have interest and curiosity about him. As you start to dig into the Bible and uncover what it says about who God is and what he desires for us, you discover that he's not out to control us. He's not out to make our lives miserable. He is out to give you a prosperous and hope-filled and love-filled life. And every command that he gives is given to give us the best life possible. Through faith and trusting that Jesus is who he claims to be and what God does, everything he promises, you discover there is much more to this kingdom of God than what meets the eye initially. And again, we can extend this as when we look at the church that doesn't seem to have very much at first glance. So if you take the initiative to get past that initial glance, to really get to know the parts of the church, the people, you begin to discover the riches of experience that are contained in all those different people, the gifts that God has given them, the way that he binds them together and has them work together to be stronger together than they are apart. You just begin to discover the gifts of fellowship and love that are found within a fellowship, no matter what the size they are, as they commit themselves to God. The church has much more to offer to people than what we see at first glance. And then there's you, the individual who has put your faith in Christ. You've trusted that God is, or Jesus is the Son of God, and he does offer forgiveness for your sins. The reality is that there's so much more to you than just being somebody who's redeemed and forgiven of your sins. So often we describe ourselves as sinners who've been saved by faith, which is true. That's only part of it, though. We don't just have our identity in somebody who's woefully incapable and always falling into sin and is always potentially in trouble with the Lord, but thank God he's forgiven me. There's so much more to who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation in him. You are no longer who you used to be. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The very person of God lives within you. He walks with you through every experience of life and makes himself available to you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He goes before you in ways that you cannot even comprehend to give you the life that you have, to make experiences possible for you. He has crafted and molded your life in such a way that he can do a good work within you and around you. He has recreated you spiritually as you step into his kingdom for a purpose in this world beyond just living out your days, working and producing and consuming and taking in life as you can. There is so much more to you in Christ than that. But you have to look beyond the surface. You have to see that there's more and trust in the promises that God gives. Now going back to Jesus' parable, he tells us that this seed is planted and it becomes this large plant. We know that when we plant a seed in the ground, that seed coat falls away and that little embryo sticks its root out into the ground. And before long, it's sticking up out of the ground and becomes a full-grown plant. It transforms from this little seed into this amazing and fruitful plant. The wild mustard seed plant that Jesus may have been describing, when left to grow by itself, can reach 10 feet in height. And it grows these thick, wood-like stems. It becomes a big bush, a bush that can support, that can provide shelter for birds. It produces fruit. It produces more seeds to reproduce itself, all from that little tiny seed. So what Jesus is pointing to when he says the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed, he's pointing to the transformational properties of that, of the kingdom of God. It starts out looking like not much. And as I said, if you don't really pay attention to it, if you don't explore it, you're not going to see it. But the truth is, it does a marvelous work. It does amazing things in and around us. This is the kingdom of God. If you can soften your heart and humble yourself to God and let the knowledge of God transform you, if you can let him, let his will transform the way that you think, your view of the world will completely change. God will provide you rest and security no matter what happens in this world. And he will give your life meaning and purpose and hope. There is so much more to the kingdom of God when you explore it. When you take time to study the word and diligently learn who Jesus is, your heart and mind and soul become new. You find new desires. You have a new love for God and you desire to live for him while your old desires fade away. You discover a new hope that can sustain you through all things and a deep sense of joy and peace in your life. When you look at this church, it's been planted in this community 15 years ago, as Wendy pointed out. You nourish that church with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us. That church can transform the world. Consider the early church, which was begun by a handful of disciples of Christ who were uneducated by the world standards, yet they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were trained by Jesus. They gained a passion to be witnesses to Christ to the world, and they literally changed the ancient world. The Christian faith spread rapidly out of Israel throughout the entire world. We ourselves are direct byproducts of that. We study God's word. We know Christ today because those apostles changed the world. They started out as something that appears to be insignificant, and yet there was a power at work within them that changed everything. The same is true of this body of believers. We have that transformational ability within us here today to really change the world for Christ. And that body, of course, is made up of individual followers of Christ, you and I. Because of who you are in Christ, because of what's inside you, because of your faith, you have the potential within you, physically, spiritually, emotionally, every way about you, to both be transformed by God and to transform this world. As you nourish your own heart, mind, and soul with the truth of God, he does change you first of all. He overcomes sinful desires in you. He heals you from emotional wounds inflicted by this world. He gives you new resilience to withstand the storms of life. And he gives your life more meaning and purpose. And as you share those things with the world, as you yourself act like that mustard seed, as you are nourished and you allow yourself to spread out into this world, you find that you can have a positive impact on the people around you. So often we look at ourselves, and I know this is true of many of you in the conversations I've had with you, and I know it about myself at times. We don't see much here. We don't think we're capable of very much. We're not educated enough. We're not knowledgeable enough about how to interact with people in this world. But the truth is, you have the Spirit of God living within you. You have been nourished by the Word of God. You have a faith that has transformed your life. And as you share that with the world, simply share what God has been given you, and you allow the Spirit to work through those interactions that you have, you will be amazed at the transformational power that God works through you and in you. And that is our constant reminder as a church, is to be sharing what we have, what God gives us, what he transforms us into. It's not just for ourselves, it's for the world. And you are capable, because of Christ and through Christ, to make a huge impact on this world. That's what you're called for. And so not only today do I want you to see just how incredibly transformative the kingdom of God is, and to call us to a deeper faith and a consistency and a passion for pursuing God, because God is not done with any of us yet, right? There's far more that he wants to show us. I only don't want you to call you to that deeper faith. I want you to recognize what God is able to do through you. You are placed in this place at this time for his purposes. And God is still changing this world. So often we look out at the world with hopelessness. We think, wow, the world is just going crazy. And there's so much sin at work in this world, and we feel incapable. But no, God has called us to this time, to this place, to be the transformative power in this world. It's not our place to just sit back and watch, but to actually go out and do things by the power of God. So know that you are just like that seed as well, as a follower of Christ. Not much to look on the surface, maybe, but there's so much that God can do through you. Let's give thanks to God for His Spirit, for His strength that He gives us, and then praise Him with our closing song. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the way that Jesus just continues to reveal Your kingdom to us. Lord, as people who have put our faith in You, we do desire to live in that kingdom, to enjoy the blessings of knowing You and living through You. And I do pray that You would just amaze us as we consider who You are, that we would want so much more of that kingdom that You offer. There's so much more than we realize, as Jesus describes. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, You would just do a work within us, that You would make us bold, that You would make us so full of joy and faith in You that we can't help but show You to the world around us. And that people would be attracted to You, just as the bird is attracted to that mustard bush as it grows, Lord, that others who You are calling to faith would be attracted to what they see through us. It's not us we want them to see, Lord. It's You that we want to see. So I do pray that You would work through us and in us, but help us not to hide what we have, but to let it shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.